Let us open
our service together with prayer and the receiving of God's blessing. Our help, Lord, is in thy name, in thee who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of thy hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us sing together now with Psalter 183, stanzas 1 through 4. O Lord, thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. And what follows then in verses 1 through 4 of 183.
Thank you.
I'd like to read with you two portions from the Scriptures this evening. Let's first turn to 1 Kings chapter 10. And I'll read with you the first 13 verses. And then we'll move to Acts chapter 1 and we'll read the first 11 verses. So first then, 1 Kings 10, verses 1 to 13. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store and precious stones. And there came no more such abundance of spices as these, which the queen of Sheba gave to the king Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, besides that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Let's now turn to Acts chapter 1 and let us read the first 11 verses. Where Luke records the ascension of the Lord Jesus in these words. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So far, our scripture readings for this evening. So let us together in prayer remember this evening Kayla Schaumer. She had a serious flu that ended up swelling her brain, and she is, I believe, okay again, or released from the hospital at least so far. And also Joel Capesel, who escaped a near fatal accident today as he is driving up from Florida to join the family here. So let us thank the Lord that he was spared in a serious accident on the way here. So let's together now seek the Lord in this evening. O blessed, eternal God, thou hast called us here together also this evening, and brought us in thy providence safely through the day, through our work and travels. And Lord, as we gather here, thou hast called us to rejoice in the midst of this fallen world, full of the darkness, of the needs and sins that we face. And the cause of all this joy, which we're singing about already, is that thou hast exalted the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, to be the Prince and Savior, to be the Lord of Lords, and have enthroned him on the very throne of heaven and earth. And Lord, what a great and a important fact of the history of redemption this is. And as we gather here this evening, Lord, we are an unworthy people, as thou knowest that far better than that we know. Maybe not all of us see ourselves as unworthy. And yet we pray that thou would look down upon us in the blessed merits of the Lord Jesus Christ at thy right hand as that heavenly high priest. And it is through him thou hast assured us that we may come boldly before thy throne to ask of mercy and grace. And Lord, blessed art thou for having set such a king on the throne in this universe as the Lord Jesus Christ is so great and glorious. What a joy that thou found the Lion and the Lamb of Judah worthy to be set at thy right hand, and that thou hast exalted him above all names within this universe. And O Lord, what a blessing, as our catechism points out, that we have an high priest with the same flesh and blood as we have, that can be touched with all the feelings of our infirmities, who yet was without sin, yet was not without temptation. Thou perfected him through suffering and through the temptations he faced. And thou hast raised him up. Thou hast exalted him. As we read in this chapter, Lord, thou hast taken him up into heaven. And we pray that thou would engage our hearts tonight with this truth in such a way that we may walk in the joy of the disciples who returned home to Jerusalem with joy in their heart for what they had seen, but above all what they had heard. And O God, that we may tonight be as the Queen of Sheba, who returned from a visit to an earthly Solomon, full of joy, as well as enriched, may so we depart together this evening from Thee, O greater Solomon, having our hearts overcome with what Thou would will be willing to reveal to us this evening. Lord, bless us then, in mercy, opening our mind for Thy glory and for the gospel details of this so significant event. Lead us to know experientially the advantage of Jesus' ascension. As Thou said it, Lord, it is expedient for me that I go away. For if I leave not, Thou could also not send Thy Holy Spirit. And may we see tonight what an advantage it is to have that High Priest and that Almighty King in the heavenly glory. O Lord Jesus, send forth Thy Spirit to press home the truth that Thou hast been exalted above all name, and that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Thou art the glorious King. Allow us this evening not to hear another sermon without doing or without obeying, or without believing the message Thou art bringing to us. Lord, will Thou allow us not to harden our hearts, to reason away the impressions, to ignore the callings. Oh, we pray, O great Shepherd, Prince and Savior, exalted to give repentance as well as forgiveness, that Thou wilt so visit us this evening with Thee, Holy Spirit, working, leading also Thy sheep beside the still waters of these comforts in Thy ascension. And O God, cause Thy people to lie down in the green pasture of that truth, that Thou art at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for them, when we can no longer pray. O God, and Thou art praying for Thy people. And we beseech Thee this evening, strengthen also the faith of Thy children in this so blessed gift of the ascended Savior, that we may be strengthened in the faith of what we hear every Sunday. I believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Strengthen our faith, Lord, that Thou rules from there, that Thou guides every aspect of our life, that Thou provides and will provide for all our needs, that we have an open access into Thy presence. Oh, fill Thy people with all the joy and the peace in believing these so blessed and joyful tidings. And Lord, be pleased this evening to let Thy power be great, to deliver the poor and the doubting souls in our midst, those with trembling heart that stand afar off, longing and sorrowing, perhaps seeing from afar the blessedness of thy people, but daring not to account themselves one of such. Lord, be pleased this evening to also give such a portion to joy their hearts. And Lord, thou art not only the high priest, thou art also the prince of all the kings and all the rulers and all the people that are in this world. And even though this earth is full of vice and full of violence, oppression and suffering, brokenness and war, thou art building thy kingdom, gathering thy elect from all the languages and cultures and nations, uniting them in one body. And Lord, thou art continuing that work also among us. And we pray that even though we see the reality of this downward direction in our society, we may not lose faith that all these things take place under thy divine control. The Lord reigneth. And Lord, bless us with that belief. Lord, thou also graciously remember us in the great needs that we face. There are forces of evil, O God, we cannot stop. We cannot turn. We can also not avoid. The apathy, the lukewarmness, the self-focus, the individualistic thinking, the god of money, the god of pleasures, and so many other gods that we worship in this nation. Oh God, they are as a multitude we cannot oppose. And we cry to thee this evening again, that thou would lift up thy hand to turn the tide of evil, to lift up the banner of thy truth in the gospel of Jesus. It is the power of thee to the salvation of sinners. Lord, visit our country. Turn us or keep us, and guide us so to walk that we may remain separate, standing firm on the word of God, being courageous and bold and wise, shining forth thy light in this dark and crooked generation. And Lord, though we make ourselves ripe for thy judgments in this nation, we beseech thee this evening that thou would have mercy, that thou would visit us yet with an undeserved revival of thy great cause. Respect to thy word. Oh, will thou give a sense of thy majesty and of thy holiness in our nation. Lord, thou knowest where to bring us and how to bring us there. And we plead for that mercy this evening. We don't deserve leaders who will lead us according to thy word. We don't deserve them, Lord, who would use their authority to curb the evil and promote the good. But may it please thee to set over us again leaders with biblical vision, biblical integrity, wisdom that is rooted in the fear of God, and a true relationship with thee. Lord, so look upon us yet in thy gracious mercy. Remember our armed forces. As we read also yesterday that one was killed in combat in Iraq. There is grief and sorrow in another family circle. And Lord, we may so commend to thee all those of our own nation that are involved in these so difficult assignments. We need wisdom, Lord, and we pray that for our leaders, for those in authority in the military, Those who are counseling our president and those who are involved in any level of that decision making. And so look upon us all this evening, and we pray, especially also with thanksgiving tonight for Joel Capes, O Lord. Thou spared him in a serious accident along the highways today. And we beseech thee that thou would also bless this calling also to his heart, and that thou hast spared the family from another tragedy or hurt. O God, be so mindful of them all together with each other too. We every day are in the same dangers that he so closely faced this day. And thou hast spared not only him, but also all of us again today. We lift up Kayla Schaumer. Thank thee, Lord, for the improvement that there is so far again in her condition. Will thou be with all others that are sick, with the flu and other weaknesses of body, those that are listening at home, also remember them, Lord, that are not able to gather with us because of old age or other hindrances this evening. So remember us now in mercy. Hear thou our petitions and forgive us all our sins. We ask it again in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let us sing the Psalter 418. Praise the Lord, ye lands, nations, clap your hands. Shout aloud to God and spread his fame abroad. And what follows in 418, the three verses, and in the meantime, there is also an opportunity for collection. And may the Lord bless you and your gifts. helper nigh. Anytime a nation gets a new king, there is a giant celebration. Not too long ago that took place in the country that I was born in when they received a new king. And that was a national celebration. And it is something proper. Now how much more when the earth received a new king? How much more joyful is this day to be marked than it is? You notice how empty it is today. On a Christmas day, this is full. But on Ascension Day, that we mark tonight, churches are either closed. I don't know of any other churches open in this week before that. Or are not very often full. And yet this day, it's more significant than Christmas, more significant than Good Friday, more significant than Resurrection Day. Doesn't live that way in our heart. Also in the heart of God's children often, the Ascension Day is far removed from the life of faith. But the Holy Spirit has already indicated in the Old Testament Psalms that that is a misapplied focus, that we do not focus on the Ascension Day. Now if you go to the book of Psalms, you find only one psalm that has an indirect reference to the resurrection. But I will lay before you tonight the assignment to find the psalms that are solely written to celebrate Ascension Day. And there are five of them in the book of Psalms. So think about that together in your own private writing or reading this week. You know, today, or at least normally it will be tomorrow, but you know the circumstances why we have it for this evening, we ponder about the most significant historical event. That Jesus physically rose from the local place on Mount Jerusalem to a physical, or in a physical way, to the heavenly glory, to ascend onto the throne of this earth. Now, who is Jesus? He's a Son of Man, like you and me, flesh and blood. This was the main battle and the main jealousy issue between devil and Jesus. In paradise, he became the king over this earth. When Adam and Eve handed the reins of their life to him. And on Ascension Day, Jesus received the supreme position over all earth, as well as all heaven. We just were singing that psalm tonight. Psalm 44:18 here. And we speak about God has gone on high with a joyful cry. God is King alone on His holy throne. Issues His command to all the heathen lands. Friends, a remarkably and a beautiful day when we ponder about the Son of Man having ascended into the heavenly glory. Let me read it to you from the Hebrew author. Just this one verse, even though many verses in Hebrew are referring to this Ascension Day. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels on account of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. The apostle wrote, we see Jesus. And I pray that tonight you and I may see Jesus. See Jesus, crowned with glory and honor. So this evening, I'd like to do that from an perhaps unusual chapter. on Kings chapter 10. A familiar chapter to you all. Let me just review really briefly the chapter content. Queen of Sheba visiting Solomon. Now Jesus calls himself the greatest Solomon. So we know that this historical visit by the Queen of Sheba has much more significance to it than just history. This high-level state visit of the Queen, she's heard some rumors about Solomon. As the fame of this king spreads around the world through all the trading that is taking place, it eventually has also reached her country. And instead of sending some officials back to make some more inquiries, the Queen of Sheba decides herself to go on this titanic journey for those days. That would be at least a 6-month long journey on the top of a camel. Not the most comfortable ride, they tell me. Amazing. She is exposing herself to dangers. She's leaving her country for at least a year, if not longer, without her presence. She is making this tedious and dangerous and no doubt expensive journey to find out whether it is true what these people in their harbor city are telling her about this king out there in Jerusalem. And you know the story. She is skeptical, yet she is open to believe it. And as she spends some time with Solomon, her questions are answered. Solomon is able to give her direction. And the longer time she spends with this Solomon, the more astounded she becomes. At the end of her visit, she is spiritless. We would say today, breathless. She is stunned. Let's read it again. In verse 6 and 7, or verse 3 to 5, when he told her all things and he showed her all things, and then it says in verse 5, and she saw all this, and there was no more spirit in her. Today we'd say she was dumbstruck. Totally dumbstruck. This far exceeds all I heard of you, she says to Solomon. I hardly dare to believe it, and therefore I came being skeptical about what I heard, but it was true that they told me in my own land. See, skeptical. But now she says, it was true what they told me of thy acts and of thy wisdom, how I believed it not until I came and mine eyes have seen it, and behold, they didn't tell me half of the wisdom and the prosperity that exceeds the fame which I heard. All her efforts were worth it, congregation. And my task tonight is to be one of those servants of Solomon, the greatest Solomon, to convince you that Jesus is worth all your time, all your efforts, all your sacrifice, all your mind, all your heart, all your life. And if you would start out on a journey like this Queen of Sheba did in a spiritual way, you will agree with her that all you heard about Jesus in all your lifetime perhaps is not comparable to what he really is. That his glory exceedeth everything that there is ever to be told by any human, because it is ultimately only in the personal experience of him that you and I will find out how glorious the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, really is. And so my desire tonight is to follow the Holy Spirit's direction in the Psalms that we are to worship and exalt the King this evening. And my words of meditation on verse 9 of this chapter. And I really hope as we look at this verse tonight that we may leave together as the Queen of Sheba left Solomon. Her doxology was, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." There are two thoughts I want to bring to your attention. The queen's response to Solomon is a pattern of how we are to worship the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And the first place we are to praise God for making Jesus the King of all kings. And secondly, we are to worship Him for all He is as King. We are to praise God. You know, an evening like this is a worship evening. It's an evening, friends, that has nothing to do with romanticism. And that's why you don't see so many people having churches tonight, as we do on Christmas Day. But as you think with me this through, as the Queen of Sheba, seen this palace, seen the servants, seen all the surroundings of Solomon, but above all, when she has seen Solomon and heard him speak and heard him answer his questions and heard him give direction and heard him speak about the Lord Jehovah and all that, she just is ravished in her heart with the joy in God, not in Solomon. Because notice what she says, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in you, Solomon, to put you on this throne of Israel." The queen's impressions, friends, leads us to the thoughts of Jehovah. The Queen of Sheba recognizes Solomon was a gift from God to Israel. Do you recognize that Jesus Christ is a gift from God to this world? To this world, mind you. It goes beyond Israel tonight. We sang together in the Psalm 47 in our Bible that Jesus has become the King and therefore praise the Lord, ye lands and nations, clap your hands. Today, Christ is King of the globe we call Earth. Not Satan. Not any other worldly evil dictator, dictatorial ruler. Jesus is King. And that's why we're here tonight. To celebrate, to praise, to bless the Lord Almighty that He delighted in Christ to make Him the King of all the earth. Having such a king on the throne, friends, is one of the greatest acts of love that God has given. Solomon failed, we know that. He was still a human. But the king that is on the throne today never failed while he lived on earth and never fails while he sits on the throne. He is fully committed to do judgment and justice. Solomon promoted his own fame as well. And Solomon became an idolater of his own riches and his own abilities and his own things. But the king that is on the throne tonight has never done anything for his own honor. For his own advantage. For his own pleasure. The king that is on the throne tonight is a king who served himself away to die, to do good, to rule this world on God's behalf, until the day that he hands over the rule back to his father. He is not a king who just talks big, like we hear all these candidates do in our presidential campaigns. Big talk. But no real eye for the poor as they just wallow in their riches. But this king, he has an eye for the poor. And when the needy call, he hears. And when the poor calls, he acts. A king who was rich became poor to make others rich. It's worth studying this king. It's worth seeking this king. It's worth to be like the Queen of Sheba and spare no expense and no energy and no effort to search for him. You don't have to go as far. You don't have to travel 6 months to hear him. He's right here in the book. Maybe there are 10, 20, 30 of them in your house. Where he speaks, where he lives, where he reveals himself. That's the king that tonight we are to ponder about. Solomon was powerful, sure, but he was not almighty. For Solomon could answer hard questions, but he could not answer the hardest question. And what is the hardest question? How can I, sinner, be just with God? How can I, guilty man, ever come clean with the God who I face? Jesus not only gave the answer, Jesus is the answer. Yeah, he is the answer. He came to this earth, no, not in Solomon's glory. He came to this earth in the suffering image of the man of sorrows. When we were not able to obey the law, he came, placed himself under the law, took upon himself the likeness of sinful men. God became man and clothed himself with the rags of a human nature, fallen friends, in order to reconcile God's church with the Almighty God. Now that's a king. Go find a king like that. Even Solomon cannot be compared to that. And friends, what a gift that God has given this earth now, such a king as Jesus. No, let us keep on reminding ourselves when Stephen is facing the mob of devil people stoning him to death. Notice what he saw, right? He looked into heaven. And he saw Jesus the King standing at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. And what was the King doing there? Well, he was also a high priest at the same time, lifting up Stephen. Keep him, Lord. Hold up his faith. Strengthen him to suffer for my name's sake. The secret of this Stephen, dying, praying for his enemies, is the king who is praying and who is sending his gift of the Spirit to him. It's all in Christ, friends. And therefore, we are this evening together to rejoice in this truth, isn't it? How do you respond, or how do you consider this great act of the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven? How does that really affect you? At a cause of joy. Isn't it appropriate that we are in the spirit of rejoicing tonight? When Simeon comes to the temple and he sees that little babe and he takes it out of Mary's hand, he lifts up his eyes and he blessed God for that child. Now tonight, we have reasons, don't we? To arise, as it were, and to bless God that he made that little child the king on Mount Zion. Will that Queen of Sheba rise up in the judgment day against us, since we did not serve and did not worship God for such a gift so rare, so great in the exaltation of Jesus Christ? Maybe you say, but I don't know that king. And I don't know whether he is my king. Well, let me answer that second one first. He is your king. He is everyone's king. When he bruised the head of Satan, he received the kingship over this earth. This is his earth, and every individual is his by right of earning it. Let that be clear tonight. And that's why the Philippian author, Paul, write to the Philippians, I think it is, that every knee shall bow and every tongue in this world shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Have you bowed that knee? Are you living on that bowed knee? Are you worshiping with that tongue? Acknowledging in word and deed, in thought and life, in heart and spirit, that he is the king, friends. You say, I don't know him. Well, I've told you about him now. I've told you about him many times. I've come to the shores of your harbor life, your ear. I've stood before your eye gate. I've stood before your ear gate. I've stood before you. I have told you about the king so many times already. And I will never tire to tell you more about him. But are you rising up as the Queen of Sheba? Are you saying, away world and away distractions and away toys and away everything, I need to find him of whom I hear, this great king, Jesus Christ? Are you following her footsteps? Seeking, searching, pressing into the kingdom, seeking for him with all your might and with all your strength. Maybe you don't know him personally. Maybe you've only heard about him from others. Maybe you're hesitant or skeptical even to believe what others say about it. Or maybe you say, I'm tired of hearing of him. For that's also possible. Dear friends, I urge you then only to come and see. Maybe you are just skeptical like Nathaniel. Can anything good come out of Jesus? Anything good for me in him? Come and see. I invite you tonight. I urge you tonight. I implore you tonight that you bow this evening at this feet of this exalted Savior and say, Lord, I hear again the fame of thee. I don't know thee. I don't know thee experientially and personally. I do not see what thy people are finding so beautiful and amiable and so satisfying about thee. I don't see it, Lord. Convince me. Open my eyes. Draw me. Now, if I literally translate the word draw me out of the Song of Solomon, it is entice me, allure me, show me thy beauty. Spread that now tonight before the throne of Jesus. And cease not to pray that prayer until you will be one who will run after him like the bride did and like the church of Christ did. Seek him. Now that's my first thought. Secondly, we are to worship him, this Savior, this Prince of the King of Israel, for who he is and what he does. But let us do that after we sing together, or consider that after we sing together. Psalter 198. And let us sing verse 1, 4 through 7. O God, be thy anointed Son with truth and righteousness endowed. And what follows in 1, 4 through 7 of 198. In His sight. We are to worship Him, not only as the gift of God to make Jesus King. And let us not forget that the Son of Man is also the Son of God. That God so loved the world that He made Jesus the King of all this world. But He did not only say that. He not only said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted indeed to set thee on the throne, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made He thee king to do judgment and to do justice." You know, the queen soon realized she was in the presence of one vastly superior to her. Who knows, she may have had a high opinion of herself. Who knows? We do not know. But we know one thing. The longer she is with Solomon, the smaller she becomes. That's not how it always goes in the life of grace. The more that Christ increases, the more we decrease, the smaller you want to be. You're not only going to be, but you want to be, because you want to have all the attention and all the glory and all the worship to Him alone. Grace makes us afraid that anyone else would get the crown than Jesus alone. You can recognize it in this queen. She's so full of this glory of Christ, of Solomon. And friends, how much more true when we begin to see the glory of Jesus. He will ever rise in superiority. The preeminent one, Paul writes. And therefore God's children are never tired to hear about Him more and more and more. Get tired hearing about yourself. If you don't get tired of hearing about yourself, there's something wrong. Because what is there about you and about me that there's to be so happy about? My friends, if there is grace in your heart, you will see more and more beauty and glory and attraction and grace and wisdom and power in Jesus. How much more indeed is there to see in Him? Everyone taught by the Holy Spirit is going to echo this King. It was a true report that I heard after all in my own land when I was there of thy acts and of thy wisdom. And yet I believed it not until I came. And now I tell you, they didn't even tell me half of what it is. And so it is always. You can be for 30 years, 50 years, 80 years under the preaching of the ministry of the soundest preacher and be as blind for the glory of Jesus as this woman was blind for the glory of Solomon while she was in Sheba. When that Spirit of God begins to open your heart and mind, you will indeed see differently. Ponder with me, friends, the glory of Jesus Christ in just a few thoughts. One of them is that she mentioned Solomon's wisdom, the acts and wisdom. You know, there are many things about Christ, but one of them is wisdom. He is a wise king. He is a wise creator. Jesus is the creator of the world, it says in Colossians. Now it's a wise place. There is wisdom and design and intricacy and beauty and secrets in nature we haven't yet come to see it at all. All our research of this earth, we are still standing on the shore of the ocean. Of all the wisdom that the Almighty has packed together in the creative world. And then we think about His providential guiding of the world. Oh, we have questions. We find riddles. We find God's government often mystifying. We heard that on Sunday night. But once God will open our eyes, we will say like Joseph, when he saw back and he saw all the pieces of his puzzle fall together, and he glorified God in front of his own brothers. What you thought evil, God was working out for good. The wisdom in God's government, congregation, let us leave it to Him to run the world. Let us leave it to Him to shift the balances in the world. We're seeing shifting balances. A greatly shifting balance. What our children are going to see in our grandchildren is unknown to us, but not what you and your grandparents have seen. This nation is going down. Other nations are coming up. Militarily, economically, it is going to change. It has always done that. Do not think it's going to forever last as we are living in this country like this. But no need to worry. Because it all happens because there's one on the throne who is opening every time a new page in the book and breaking another seal of the book and executing the very decree of God that has been from all eternity to further the work of God. Let's hold on to that. This is the ascended King. Oh, the nations may indeed span together their strength, their powers, their evil powers, whatever they may do. I will give you at least one psalm tonight that talks about the ascension. The kings of the earth and the rulers also take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed and against His church. And he that sits in heaven shall laugh. He shall laugh about all these little foolish efforts of all the evil people in the world who think they're going to overthrow the kingdom of God. See, let us hold on to this truth in providence, creation. But there's more to the wisdom of God. Friends, most of the wisdom in God is seen in Jesus Christ being the provision for a poor sinner. You and I are guilty people. You and I are standing before the judgment seat one day. You and I will have to give an account of our stewardship being created in the image of God. That's where God begins. Do not forget. He will not begin after the fall, He begins before the fall. And He will put us before His throne and say, I made you men upright, perfect, holy, righteous. Count on it. You're going to stand there and face the truth. How we were created. How we fell in Adam. How we rebelled against the King in our fall. And how we have rebelled ever since. And oh, woe to you. If your knee has not learned to bow, and if your heart has not learned to repent, it would have been better. You would have never been born. We face the throne of God with the judge of heaven and earth. And He will there be a consuming fire to everyone that is unholy. Who is unholy? Well, let me ask again, who is holy? Who will ascend up into heaven? He that has clean hands. Got clean hands? All your actions clean? He who has a clean mouth. All your words clean? He who has never lifted his heart up to vanity, never done that? Only one sin makes the sinner. Ponder this evening. Who shall ascend up unto heaven? We will not stand in the sight of our holy Creator. Our Almighty Judge will take us onto every page of our life. And He will show us back again the sinful thoughts, the sinful words, the sinful attitude, the sinful rejection of His Word particularly. Oh, there is no sin more grievous. Having been lifted up by this God, so highly exalted as you and I have been. And instead of having to go all the way like the Queen of Sheba to Solomon, Greater Solomon has come all the way to you. You have to answer for that. And maybe you sit here with an alarm in your heart. Maybe you sit here indeed with a sense of that holy breach. Friends, maybe you sit here this evening struggling to know, how can I ever be holy? How can I ever be reconciled? How can I ever be saved? What must I do, O God, to be saved? What must I do then to escape this so fierce and so just wrath of Thee? Behold the King, Jesus Christ. One of His names is wisdom. And why? It's actually a beautiful name. In Jesus Christ, the divine being has bundled all his wisdom. All his wisdom. Let me just give you an example. When I stand by the Statue of Liberty, and you see the giant form, beautiful shape, and that maker has bundled all his wisdom, experience as architect and artist together when he made that statue. Can you understand that? He's bundled all his wisdom. That's his crowning piece. Right? Now Jesus Christ is the crowning piece of all God's wisdom. In Christ Jesus, God has bundled all his wisdom to make a provision of how he can adopt a sinner into his holy family. How he can spare a guilty sinner being a just God. In Christ Jesus, God has bundled all his wisdom, friends, to provide everything needed for a hell-worthy sinner to be taken into heaven. And how is that possible? That's only possible through that king he has placed on the throne, whom he has first placed on the earth as a suffering man. And then he has led him to the cross of Golgotha. That's why. There is so much wisdom in that provision, in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul writes in one of the letters that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, neither has it come up in the heart of man what God has provided in Jesus Christ. Friends, that text does not refer to heaven, as it so often is done, and it's perhaps true too, because it doesn't come up in our eyes what heaven is. But that text in 1 Corinthians 2 does not refer to heaven. It refers to this person, Jesus Christ. Never has an eye seen, nor ear heard, nor has it come up in the heart of man what God prepared in this God-man, Jesus Christ, to bring holiness and justice and mercy and grace together. That's why I said earlier in my sermon tonight, Jesus doesn't only have the answer. He is the answer. Come, maybe tonight you feel yourself so sinful, so wrong, so far from God, so guilty, so unable to ever give what I need to give in order to pay for my debt. Behold then, my dear friends, this precious King Jesus, high priest over the house of Israel. In Christ, God can receive and embrace the guilty sinner. In Christ, there is a door opened, a way paved for a sinner to return to God. In and through this wisdom of God, there it is possible. And that is only possible because this king was crowned with thorns and scourged as a guilty man, condemned to die. We are in a week of preparation. And on Sunday we may gather around the table, and the King of all kings wants us to remember what it cost him to save his people. So deep I stooped in order to open the way for you. And no wonder, you see, that this Queen of Sheba, when she sees the servants of Solomon, and she says, "Oh, happy are thy men, and happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom." She envied Solomon's servants, who hear them always. And she noticed that this king that they have was given because the Lord loved and because the Lord gave him to do judgment and justice. But friends, you do not need to envy tonight. I may invite you, in the name of my King, to come to Him, to come to Him tonight, assuring you that from His side there is every provision for a poor and guilty sinner. Nothing in your hand you need to bring. I may stand here before the gospel table. All things are ready. Every dish is provided by God Himself in His Son Jesus Christ. You need blood to atone. It is in Him. You need righteousness to cover. It is in Him. You need a spirit to renew. It is in Him. You need it all. It is in Him. And to Him I may plead you to come this evening again. And what will your response be? How will you go home tonight? What will your night hour witness? Neutrality is not possible. It's either we bowing our knee or we don't. We confessing with our mouth or we don't. In truth, I mean. We can confess with our mouth all our life without our heart. That is meaningless. It has to come from the heart. Neutrality is not possible. Will you be one of those tonight that sinks again at the King's feet saying, "Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me"? Or will you be one of those who sank down at his knees before that King and says, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner"? But will you labor? Will you wrestle? Will you seek? Will you worship? Will you answer? Will you plead? Will you call upon this great Prince and Savior that God has exalted to give to us repentance and to give to us the remission of sin through His own work, friends? Never, never is it anything in us to bring, but all in Him. Come, let us close with this thought this evening. This Queen of Sheba, she lavished on the King of Solomon, all her gifts and all her treasures. You read it in verse 10. She gave the king all kinds of talents of gold and spices and trees and whatever she had in her land. It came to the king. That was her thankfulness expression. Notice she gives it afterwards. She didn't buy his answers. She responded in gratitude. And the test of true and genuine salvation, the test of being truly saved, is the life of gratitude. It's the life of devotion. It's the life of obedience. There are so many Christians in our world that all are having their mouth full of Jesus and their life full of the world. They have no fruit to show that their confession is genuine and a true fruit of faith is a life, "What shall I render unto that King who stooped so low? What shall I render unto that God who gave such a king to rule over this world, such a king to be the king of my life?" In turn, notice that the queen does not return home empty either. Because it says, the king gave unto the queen of Solomon, Sheba, all her desire whatsoever she asked. Beside that, he gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and she went to her own country, she and her servants. You know, she was benefited by this own Solomon. Now, how much more will those be benefited who may come like the queen to the greater Solomon, Jesus Christ? And these benefits begin in this life already. Oh, there is no greater benefit than to have your sins forgiven. To have the peace of God in your heart. To know that all is well. While we are through the storms and through the struggles of this life, to know that after this weeping that endures for a night comes the day of eternal glory. Therefore Paul says, look, there is no sense even comparing the sufferings of today with the glories that are coming. The benefits outweigh, friends, in every aspect. And not only the benefits in this life, but infinitely more. When Jesus Christ will return on the clouds, it will then be the eternal day. And not only will there be glories revealed in us, there also will be glories revealed to us that are unspeakable. What a day will it be when Jesus will complete the last step of His exaltation and bring His church home with Him. Pray therefore tonight, earnestly, enduringly, to this Jesus. You cannot save yourself, but I know He can save you. For He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto Him. Come unto God through Him. Amen. Thou art able, O glorious King of kings, for Thou also art an high priest. Thou hast everything that we poor sinners need. We don't even know what we need. And O God, Thou knowest we are blind even to why Thou art so glorious. And may it please Thee tonight, O Lord Jesus, to apply that eye salve Thou offerest so graciously in Thy words. For Thou said, I counsel Thee to buy of Me gold tried in the fire, and a garment of righteousness, and eye salve. Lord, apply it this evening to those of us who have never seen the beauty of Jesus Christ Almighty. And may it please Thee, O God, tonight to win the battle, overcoming the natural enmity, darkness, hardness, and place Thou, O God, Thy throne in the heart of sinners. O Lord Jesus, gather them that are Thine by the gift of Thy Father, also here from out this congregation. And bless all Thy children. Teach Thou us, Lord, to rejoice in this glorious message. O blessed God, we bless Thee with this queen for the greater Solomon, whom Thou hast set on the throne, that Thou loved Thy people so much, that Thou set Thy Son on the throne after Thou hast sent Him on His long and difficult journey through this earth. Oh, bless us with a deeper faith, greater hope, and a more fervent love for Thee. And so we pray, discharge us, Lord, in Thy favor. Undeserved, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing Psalter 302. The Lord unto His Christ has said, in glory I enthrone Thee, till all Thy foes in triumph led, their sovereign King shall own Thee. From Zion shall Jehovah send Thy scepter, till before Thee bend the knees of proud rebellion. He will eventually have every knee to bow, we said tonight. This psalm speaks about it, doesn't it? 302, all three verses.
Shore to shore, amen. receive now the blessing of the Lord God, and let us go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.